Welcome to part one of this Informed Infrastructure podcast series about water utilities and digital twins. This discussion will focus on capital planning, and part two will focus on operations and maintenance. I'm Todd Danielson, the Editorial Director of Informed Infrastructure. Joining me in this podcast are Ari Updahl and Tom Walski, two Bentley Systems product managers focusing on the water industry. Many businesses and market sectors are learning about digital twins and adopting this technology to create a holistic asset model that can be used throughout the life cycle. The most visible and traditional looking element of a digital twin is the design and modeling aspect. One of the most important and possibly not yet appreciated is how a digital twin can improve capital planning so it can more effectively work within the design and operations elements. Water utilities, like most infrastructure providers, are continually challenged to do more with less, making sure their customers have reliable and safe water services that are resilient and affordable. Previous ongoing budgetary challenges will be amplified by the fallout of the pandemic, putting more pressure on capital planning to be as efficient and effective as possible. Digital twins help utilities take a data-driven approach to capital planning, so time is spent on preventative planning versus reacting to issues, and the decisions made yield the highest value for each dollar of investment. The capital planning process supports continual and iterative improvements and refinement. As a starting point, all the data available can be easily accessible to the decision support process. And as the decisions are made, the data and the process can be easily audited for validation and continually improved. The results are then easily digestible across multiple stakeholders. But this is a podcast and not a monologue. Let's get our expert speakers involved. Ari Updahl is a product manager at Bentley Systems. He has more than 10 years' experience in asset management planning and analytics in the water sector. He has implemented capital planning tools with utilities across the globe and serves as the conduit between the user market segments and the development teams. Ari has a bachelor's degree in civil engineering with a minor in applied math and statistics, as well as a master's degree in civil lifecycle engineering from the University of Colorado at Boulder. Tom Walski is a senior product manager at Bentley Systems. He has 40 years of experience in applied hydraulics. He is author of hundreds of journal papers and conference presentations and is the author or co-author of several books. He has won numerous awards for his work, such as the best distribution and plant operation paper in the journal AWWA on three occasions. In addition to developing software, he has served as a distribution system operations manager, engineering manager for a large water company, executive director at a regional sewer system, and a university professor. Ari and Tom, what are some of the common challenges associated with capital planning in general?
Hey, Todd. Well, first I'll talk about, you know, some of the kind of the more common ones, some external issues. Of course, the big one is the widening budget gaps, right? So projecting out into the future, there are costs that are going to be required to repair systems and update systems and so forth. And of course, there's the revenue that's coming in, and there's this budget gap between those that's continuing to widen, and just like continuing to widen. And just like you mentioned, with the fallout of the pandemic, we still don't know what kind of impact that's going to have, on the economy, what kind of lag that might have on the municipal sector. So there's potential that's going to kind of widen that budget gap even more. So utilities are going to be faced to, you know, do even more with even less funds. In addition to that, there's rapidly changing environmental impacts that are putting, you know, increased pressure on these systems. There's the continual shifts in the political landscape. There's also a big shift just in the staffing of these municipalities. There's a turnover that's happening, and so you need technologies and solutions that are kind of easily transferable. They can grab that existing industry knowledge, about systems and easily transfer it to kind of the next wave of staff that's up and coming. And then, of course, there's the increasing public concerns for water accessibility. Where I live in Colorado and out in the West, there's drought conditions, but also water safety. We've seen the headlines lately. So water safety is a major thing. So there's a number of different challenges that are facing you know, that roll into kind of the capital planning and the decision making for these utilities, and they're definitely coming from every direction. So, Tom, I don't know if you have anything additional to add to that.
Well, just that it all boils down to the basic question of, we have so much money available to do capital projects next year, and where do we spend it? Do we paint that old tank that's getting all rusty? Do we replace that pump that has been running very inefficiently? Or maybe there's this stretch of pipe that breaks a lot, and we got to spend it there. And how do you make those decisions? And trying to use valid digital data to help support those decisions.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. So let's now talk about digital twins in the context of a water utility and the capital planning process. So how does it work within a digital twin?
Okay, the digital twin is a concept that's been kicked around for the last several years, and we're applying it now to the water utility. So we have a digital model, and that can be a lot of different things, of the actual physical features that are out there that not just represent the system as a points on a map, but actually behaves and performs like the real system. And with this, we can test different alternatives in the planning process to decide where we should spend our digital dollars and our real dollars to get the most bang per buck. And in the past, a lot of these decisions were made by a bunch of people sitting around a table saying, I think we ought to do this project because, and give some reason, I think we should be doing this. But now we have much better access to a lot of quantitative data that can help us do a lot better job by leveraging these digital twins.
Yeah, and I would just add that the digital twin is this emerging concept that keeps kind of gaining momentum. And on the surface, it's very obvious. Okay, digital twin, that can be a digital representation of your system. But I think the other important aspect is that we don't want to forget about is that it's also a digital twin also captures processes, right? So it's not just a digital representation and data of our physical system, but it's also the processes of we have new data. When did this data change, or, changes to existing data? So it kind of gives you that historical look into your data and validation into your data. And also a digital twin kind of can look at, the system changes as well. So changes in your system as they're happening. So it's kind of this living, breathing representation of your system, kind of in near real time.
So how can the digital twin environment improve how you evaluate different alternatives?
Well, the environment really consists of a lot of different tools that in the past have been kind of spread out around the water utility. What we're trying to do with the digital twin is have a centralized place where the data lives and groups can work together better, rather than keeping the data in what people refer to as data silos, which are very data rich but information poor. Instead, we could have the data in a way that people can share it and evaluate alternatives based on the many facets that we have to use to identify an alternative. There's some people who will say, well, you should just replace the pipes that are breaking the most. Well, maybe that pipe isn't very important, or maybe you can abandon it. Maybe we should put a bigger pipe in another street and let this one go. So there's a lot of these kind of alternatives that are out there, and being able to quantitatively evaluate them is really important. And at Bentley, we have some of the best hydraulic analysis tools that are of anywhere, and we can leverage those within the digital twin to quantify the benefits and cost of the different alternatives so that you're not just making it based on wild guess.
Yeah, I think, in that context too, that's just to follow up on what Tom was saying. I think, the neat thing about capital planning in this digital twin environment is that you've got this kind of living, breathing system, and you can start to do those, evaluate those alternatives. And just like Tom said, with a hydraulic engine, you can start to look at, okay, if we replace this pipe, what's the impact to the rest of the system? And quickly, very quickly running through different scenarios and different kind of hydraulic scenarios, or evaluating, maybe these pipes are in good condition, but, if we need to, you know, replace these or upsize these, and that will reduce pumping costs, and so, you know, bring down energy costs. So, you know, in this digital twin environment, you can kind of, and as it relates to capital planning, you know, you can look at, you know, kind of doing more with less dollars, but you can also start to kind of bundle in, you know, reducing energy costs as part of your plan, or, you know, even looking at capturing non-revenue water. So you can look at kind of these three key areas, these big cost reduction areas, all in kind of this one environment, all, you know, based off of the digital twin.
All right, Daniel, thanks for clearing that up. Now, can you tell me about the outcomes provided from a digital twin and how they can add value to water utilities?
Yeah, Todd. So just like you mentioned in the intro, you know, there's kind of three, you know, I don't know, key tenets or three key areas to outcomes that I've always seen or that we see. And, you know, so I think the outcomes need to be, you know, defendable, auditable, and repeatable. So defendable in the sense that capital planning brings in, you know, there's a number of different stakeholders in capital planning. Excuse me. So you need to be able to kind of clearly communicate across all these different stakeholders what the decision logic was, you know, how it was applied, what the outcome was. So you need to be able to kind of defend what your decision logic was, right? Whether that's to the city council or, you know, to other stakeholders. It needs to be auditable. So something that you can clearly and quickly evaluate alternatives, just like we were previously discussing. So, okay, what about this scenario? Okay, what if we look at this different scenario? You know, the same amount of dollars spent maybe reduces the risk in our system by, you know, some percentage more, or we'll bring in more non-revenue water or that type of thing. So having the ability to quickly do these different kind of, you know, alternatives, maybe do some different sensitivity analysis of, okay, if we look at these factors in our prioritization plan and our, you know, it's going to change the overall risk of our system by this much. So kind of identifying which categories and which areas you want to focus on from a prioritization standpoint. And then having an auditable, easily auditable kind of decision logic allows you to make these kind of democratic decisions, right? Where you can, again, across the different stakeholders, you know, try to check as many boxes across the different departments as you can, so that, you know, engineering's needs are being met, operations and maintenance needs are being met, finance is happy with the return on investment, and then obviously, of course, the stakeholders of the customers, you know, we want to continue to deliver to them clean, reliable water. I mean, that's the primary, most important thing. And then having all of this be repeatable. So with a digital twin where you've got these you know, all of this data connected and it's kind of a living, breathing thing, you know, it can go from, you know, an asset management plan can go from being a five-year endeavor, you know, or I've seen people, you know, they do it annually or biannually, you know, it can be more of kind of a almost a daily thing where it's running in autopilot, and daily you're able to kind of do quick iterations, you know, whether that's inputting new data or updating your decision logic or so forth. So, you know, kind of those are kind of the three things of outcomes, and having kind of this digital twin where it's you know, digital representation, then you're bringing all your data in, but you've also got data bridges externally. So you can have reporting, you can have mapping, and kind of in an online environment, can kind of reach across to all of these different stakeholders. And like Tom mentioned, it can kind of reach across to all the different silos.
And just to get back to the start of the question, which was about outcomes, the odd thing about this area is the best outcome is that no one will ever notice that you did a good job. Usually in water utilities, what people notice are when things go wrong. And if you use the digital twins to make better decisions, people are going to notice you even less. So the outcome will be no one is going to notice the outcome.
Yeah, that was a great point.
So now that we've established the value of digital twins for capital planning and water utilities, how can one get started to develop their own digital twin that will incorporate all the utility's assets and aspects? Now let's start with the very first step.
Okay. Well, Ari can talk to you about the technology behind the early steps and what you can do, but I want to emphasize the people issues. Some of the first steps are to get everybody on board. That is to get buy-in from executive management, operations, customer service, engineering, planning, and get these people working together. And that's where the digital twin helps out in sharing data and having everybody have a common place to go to get their work done. So it starts with the people, and then the technology comes in and helps you do those things a lot better.
Yeah, I completely agree, Tom. And I think, I think what most utilities, they probably already have a digital twin, right? To some extent, I think of a digital twin like if you think about a representation of a body, they've got the bones over here in one place, the veins in another place, and, the lungs and heart are over here in another place, and they're just not kind of working together. Or, maybe a more common scenario is they've got kind of a Frankenstein where they have all these different systems. And by systems, I mean, this is the information and data that relates to those different departments that Tom was talking about. And they've got kind of a Frankenstein where all those pieces are kind of stitched together and they can kind of get them to communicate. But a true digital twin is all of those things are kind of, there's this connection between all of those. And so now you've got kind of that one central, kind of living, breathing representation that kind of works across all those different departments. So I think a lot of utilities may have more of a digital twin than they know already. They've got the pieces at least. It's just a matter of kind of putting it together and where do they start? They can talk with us and we can do a digital assessment, kind of get an idea of where they are and go from there.
All right. Well, thank you, Ari. Thank you, Tom. And thanks to all those listening to us for part one of this podcast series. Hope you also check out part two on operations and maintenance within a digital twin, as well as future informed infrastructure educational broadcasts.